Blog Talk Radio.
Highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to As a Kid Radio Show. This is your host, August Crenshaw. Happy to be with you today. Always happy to discuss whatever God has put on my heart and truly believe that this is what He has designed for us to hear today to move us forward in our walk, so that we can live blessed lives, live lives abundantly above all that we can think or ask. You know, I'm about success. I'm about people enjoying life. I'm about people that are saved, in particular, living the quality of life that we sometimes get a little envious of or concerned about when we see people who aren't as saved as we think they should be living, or people that aren't as saved, that aren't saved at all living. So I always have a lot on my mind. There are plenty of things to discuss in reference to experiencing a quality life of success. So I just want to go ahead and, as usual, delve right in and begin this conversation with you all. So I told you that I would keep you updated because I believe that this journey of faith is truly a testimony to many people that may be going through different things. And today's testimony, believe, ties into what I'm going to talk about today. For those of you that missed last week's broadcast, we talked about what does it mean when someone says that you have a call on your life. So we kind of went on a completely different tangent, talked about some different things. But at the end of the day, I almost always end up back on an episode that deals with some facets of living a successful life, which means that you have to exercise faith to a degree which you have not done before, which in the beginning may sound like it is something uncomfortable, but actually it isn't. So the question that I put out there when I presented today's show was, why is it when some Christians begin to walk towards the promise of God, as soon as they experience a challenge or some form of opposition, do they shrug away and then turn away and say, this must not be what God meant for me? Those of you that were following along last week, I gave the testimony about how we experienced a challenge. And that challenge was that we didn't actually close on our house, but we still had the same surge in our spirit to move forward. And because we trusted God and what he told us, we didn't worry about what it looked like on the natural. We decided to go ahead and move forward in the spiritual to obtain, to seize, to take the blessing that we knew God had for us based on what he told us and not what it was looking like. Well, just so you all know, it still wasn't a clear-cut, clean process. So here it is. Things were delayed. We got that call Thursday night that it wouldn't happen that Friday. And you want to know something, people? It didn't happen that Monday. It didn't happen Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It didn't happen until Friday. Now, the beautiful thing is that we received a phone call on Thursday saying, hey, we're going to go forward. We're going to send you these documents. All you need to do is sign them. We're going to even pay for the FedEx slip for you to get them back to us. It'll be received next day. We'll process everything, and you will be funded on Friday. So it was like, oh, okay, awesome. Well, husband is at work. I say that I informed the lady. You know, we won't be able to actually get these documents notarized, won't be able to turn them in until later on in the evening, but he was working an early shift, so we're like, hey, it should be no problem making it to the bank. Well, who would have thought that when the area that we're in now, that banks would close at 4 p.m., and here we are pulling up to a bank just barely before 4:15. So I called the lady. I explained to them, hey, the bank is closed. Now, mind you, before I make the phone call, we checked all over for notaries. We called FedEx, UPS, actual notaries themselves, different establishments, tried to find other banks with longer hours, and we were hitting dead end. I mean, some of these places were, you know, we're from Missouri. And in Missouri, to get something notarized, it's $2 top per page. These people were asking, like, for $7 a page. The cheapest that we heard was $6. Now, understand, when you're talking about loan documents, do you know what I mean? Pages that we actually need to notarize, we would have ended up spending as much money as we thought we were going to profit, you know, from the sale of our house. So it was not looking very encouraging. But the women at the title company were very helpful and were like, okay, you know what? I'm going to make some phone calls. And she called the other title company because whatever they were doing and the lender on their side was what had slowed down the process. And you know what? They were very complimentary. They decided that they would fund even if we faxed in the notarized forms on Friday. They said, we'll still fund for you guys, but make sure you send those documents in on Friday so that we can actually get them on Monday. Well, we were there at the bank first thing in the morning, and guess what? The people there told us, you know what? We don't fax things unless they're specifically for our company. So, I mean, it was just like challenge after challenge, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, so now we got to go possibly to a FedEx or something like that to fax these forms. Well, when you're talking about $2 a page, once again, it ends up, and this is for all of the pages, notarized or not, we're still talking about spending the same kind of money just to fax these documents back in. And, I mean, but once again, the title company was very complimentary. They were like, okay, we're going to see if we can't find a Keller Williams agency in your area. You know, we hate to have you drive out of your way, but this is ridiculous. Why won't they fax it? They're not using their toner. It doesn't even cost them. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, hey, I don't know, but I'm still trying to smile and be gracious. You know, the point is that just it was not comfortable. And it seemed like just every time you turned around, since the very last week before we were going to close on this house, it just seemed like these little glitchy things kept coming up. And could you imagine, like I said, we made a move of faith. And something that looked like it was going to be delayed 72 hours ended up being delayed an entire week. And could you imagine, had we not had faith, had we not trusted God, we would have lost an entire week of relocation because we would have waited for things to be comfortable. Could you imagine when things got a little bit flaky, if we would have retreated and said, you know what, maybe this isn't God. Maybe this isn't what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe we should be calm. Or better yet, how about when I found out that I was a little bit over 5 months pregnant? And for those of you who may be sitting there, you know, let me have a moment for women that have never been in this situation before and for men who don't understand. Let me just get some clarity. I had a procedure done. I'm not even supposed to be able to get pregnant, okay? And what ended up happening in that season of my life when the pregnancy did occur, we had a teenager living with us whose life was in shambles. We were going to let her move with us when we decided to make this big journey. You have no idea. We had a basically altogether 3,000 square footage of home to go through every nook and cranny to figure out what we were keeping versus what we would sell for a moving sale, packing boxes, we're getting storage units, we're meeting with realtors, we're painting walls, we're meeting with contractors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when I was feeling fatigued or feeling weird, it would be natural for me to be in denial about being pregnant. And because I'm doing so much, it would make sense that I would at least be feeling fatigued. And you know what? Every woman doesn't go through the same thing. So I didn't have morning sickness and swelling and all of the different things that other people might have. I just had an abnormal energy crisis, basically. But could you imagine finding out just weeks before you close and then saying, oh, my God, maybe we're not supposed to make this move? Because what about the baby and the doctor and the insurance and all of these other things? The bottom line is when God has given you a big vision, He will give you a lot of signs. He will do a lot of things to let you know from the beginning that His hand is on it. And opposition will come. And we as saints to have to stop retreating. We have to stop walking away from the opportunities that God has for us because we believe that He's got this ill motive, and he's changed his mind, or he doesn't want to give us what he was going to give us just because opposition comes. You know, there are some saints who, I mean, for lack of a better way to say it, you guys know I shoot straight from the hip. There are some saints out there who act like their walk is validated because they hear God perfectly. You understand what I'm saying? It's like they won't make a move until God has given us every T to cross and every I to die. You know, I'm not going to make a move until I hear from the Lord. You know, the God's got to give me the perfect word, the perfect sign to the perfect person. I mean, they can't even figure out what church they're going to go to because they got to sit here and wait and listen for God. Oh, I got to get a car, but, you know, before I go to a dealership or before I go to anything, I mean, they get real anal with it. I mean, sometimes, yeah, God will specifically say, go to this dealership, speak to this person, go to this street, and he works with everybody differently. But when you get to the point where you cannot move and you are paralytic because you haven't heard things explicitly the way that you need to hear them, then you don't get to experience God the way you want to. And if you really think about it, don't you remember when you first got saved? And some of you, you're in this area of your life right now. It seemed like every time you prayed for something, it was like God would just be like, bam, 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 bam. You would be like, oh, God, I need a job, and I need one, you know, tomorrow. And you would go to the interview, and they would say, you know what, we're going to hire you on the spot. You can start tomorrow. You were all up in church giving your testimony. But the Bible says that we grow from faith to faith. It says that we grow from glory to glory. So you know what? The next time around when you need a job or you need more money, you may have a couple of obstacles to overcome, but still have to trust God in the process. Am I making this up? No, I'm not. Because why does James chapter 1 say to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials and to be content? And let patience have its perfect work so that you can be entire and complete and want for nothing. And in the middle of that circumstance, if you don't know what to do, he said to pray for him for wisdom and that he would liberally give it to you. And why? So that you won't waver in your faith. So so that you won't be a double-minded man who cannot expect anything from God. So that does mean that, yes, sometimes, saints, opposition will come, but the opposition isn't the Lord, because every good and perfect gift, it comes from God. So my thing is, you know, most of the time when I'm speaking to the believer. I'm speaking to the believer for the simple fact that I am, bottom line, sick of the lack of quality saints in the church who can truly uphold and encourage one another. Because a lot of times your opposition is not pookie and them on the street. Those are the people that's like, man, you brave, you bold, man. I want to do something like that one day. You find yourself inspiring the people that you think won't believe in you. And the people that are supposed to know God and have all of this wonderful faith be like, I don't know. Did you pray? Did you ask the Lord? Is this what he really has for you? I don't think I would do that. And, you know, on one hand, when they just preach and they're taking, you know, it's the Lord, because it don't make no sense. Tell them that the Lord told you to do something, they'll be like, that don't make no sense. You know, so I'm talking to the believers because something has to begin to change in our mindsets and how we deal with one another and how we talk to people about the way that we're moving and how we encourage people in regards to the way that they're moving. So scripturally, what do I need to substantiate what I'm saying? Well, one scripture I think is imperative to look at, it comes out of Psalms. It comes out of Psalms 37. And a lot of saints quote this scripture, but I think you need to go back a couple of verses, and I think you need to dissect the scripture that I'm going to read a little bit more. I'm going to read Psalms 37:25 first, and then we're going to go back and look at 23, 24, and 25. In Psalms 37:25, it says, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, we say that all the time. And you know what I have found is that with most saints, they end up using that as a critiquing tool. It's like, okay, so are you righteous? Because, you know, if you ain't righteous and if you made some mistakes and you did something wrong or whatever, then, you know, things might not work out when you're doing what you're doing. You know, I know that you're saying that the Lord is with you and all of that stuff, but, you know, if you make a wrong turn, if you do something wrong and you don't hear from the Lord, then this whole thing can end up getting messed up. And it's like, but that's not what the scripture is saying. Because if you go back two more scriptures and start at verse 23, it says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholded him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why did I bring up this scripture? What does it have to do with what I'm talking about? Because you know what? Sometimes the things that aren't going to make sense while you're pursuing your dream is you, the decisions that you make, and the steps that you take. What matters is the foundation behind the reason that you're taking a step. If you're a good man, not a perfect man or woman, if you're a good person and the Lord is the one that's ordering your steps, he's going to be happy with you just for the simple fact that you order. He's the one that's ordering your steps. But look at this. He did not expect you to perfectly follow his plan. He knows that there is a human essence towards you that will allow you to err to some degree. But the point is that even if the problem is you, you could fall, but you will not utterly be cast down. See, the Bible says that the pure in heart are the ones that will see God, not the perfect in heart. So if you have a dream that you're pursuing, if you have something that you're doing and you're walking forward and towards God, you may make a dozen wrong steps. It even says it in Proverbs that a righteous man could fall seven times. But it's the unrighteous that fall into mischief. It's not how many times you fall. I would rather fall forward than to just sit down and be complacent and never fall at all. Get that. See, in the Christian church, we like to count failures and successes. God is not counting. That is a human, secular mindset. Matter of fact, I'm going to say that that's a corrupted Christian mindset. I'm not even going to say that it's human and secular. And you know why? Because people in the secular world understand that concept. They understand biblical concepts better than we do. That's why they will go bankrupt. They will sleep in their cars. They will live on the street. They will continue to fail, and they will try to become movie producers. They'll try to open up their chicken restaurant. They will try and try and try and try again, and no matter how many times they fail, they will end up becoming Walt Disney. They will end up having KFC. They will end up having the desires of their heart. They will be an Eric Thomas that was a bum on the street, being homeless, that is now getting thousands and thousands of dollars just to speak to people and motivate them to tell them what to do with their lives. So the obstacles and the challenges that come with trying to succeed are very normal. Think about the Israelites. Go back and read Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14. God does not like you to count your failures. He likes you to be bent on your success. When God told Moses, send the spies into the promised land, and those spies came back, and 10 of them gave a negative report. They gave a good report in the beginning. They're like, they're pomegranates, they're grapes. This land is truly flowing with milk and honey. They were really excited, quote, unquote, about this so-called promised land. But they were like, we can't take the land. They're giants. We can't go in there because surely we'll be defeated. Now, on the other hand, Joshua and Caleb was like, no, yes, we can. Because surely if God has said that this is for us, he's the one that's going to give it to us. And God was utterly upset. He was so upset that he wanted to demolish them. He wanted to kill them. If it wasn't for the plea of Moses, they would have been dead right there. And God said, you know, he even told them, he said, come on, God, you're the God that is bountiful and plentiful in mercy and forgiveness. And God said, you know what, you're right. I will forgive them, but they will never receive the promise. For every day, the 40 days that they scouted out that land, that's a year that I will have them to continue to dwell in the wilderness, and they will die there. And the next generation will be the one that goes into the promised land. And there's something else that God said that was phenomenal. He said, because these people have seen what I'm capable of. He saw how I brought them out. They saw how I brought them out of the land of Egypt. They've seen the way that I was able to bless. So they know what I'm capable of doing, but yet and still what they're, so basically what they were doing is, you know, put it in a nutshell, is that they were blaspheming God and not giving him his just due credit for what he wanted to do for them. So, yes, what I'm saying is there are a lot of saints that you see that live in a state of perpetual lack, perpetual complaint. There's no extreme growth or successes. It's a very stagnant walk, and where they are is where they stay. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. That doesn't mean that God doesn't forgive them. It doesn't mean that they're going to go to hell. But there are a lot of you that, you know what, God is not satisfied with you because, you know what, he showed you the promised land. But because you choose not to deal with obstacles, because you choose not to deal with any challenges, you miss out on the opportunities and the blessings that you're supposed to receive. You want to know that when you step out the door, that it's going to be wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and you're going to get exactly what you deserve. I'll go from Old Testament to New Testament. You don't get to be comfortable because Jesus, who was the God himself manifested in the flesh, he was uncomfortable. If he was not uncomfortable, then why did he say, God, I want you to remove this cup from me? Then he got it together and said, nevertheless, your will be done. So even a moment of weakness in him expressed the fact that he didn't want to necessarily experience the fullness of what it was that God was going to have him to deal with. So, yes, there's going to be some things that you're going to go through that they're going to be uncomfortable. But, I mean, hello, why do we quote Psalms 23 all the time, even though I'll walk through the do we know what we're saying? Even though I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's talking about how he's preparing a table before your enemy. It doesn't matter what the obstacles are. The question is, are you in pursuit of the dream? Are you in pursuit of the blessing and understanding that as long as you trust God and you stay in pursuit, you're going to get it? Because look at this. Even after the Israelites died off, you'll go and you'll read later on in Numbers Just because they decided to seize the land didn't mean they got it right away. God wouldn't have told Joshua to be strong and courageous if there wasn't going to be some form of obstacle. They had to fight the battle at Jericho. They had to fight the battle at Ai. They had to beat the southern king. They had to beat the northern king. Matter of fact, if you go to chapter 12, just read the list of all the kings that they had to fight. They basically battled for 7 years before they gained the promised land. So bottom line is, what it is that you're seeking, the desires that you want fulfilled in your life, they're right there. Stop trying to say what it looks like in order for you to get them. Matter of fact, let's go back to the scripture that I gave you when it says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I hope you understand that that scripture is saying I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and his seed would be the righteous one's seed, meaning that person. So that means that I'm never going to be forsaken, and my seed, my husband and I, our seed, our children, will not be begging bread. The blessing is supposed to matriculate down. It's supposed to hit our entire household. But sometimes you may have to take a humility pill. I'll give you an example of someone in the Bible, Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. She wasn't even saved at first, but she saw who God was through Naomi. She followed Naomi and got the opportunity to say, I'm going where you're going. And God let her go. She's like, no, your God going to be my God. Your people going to be my people. So what she did was with what it says in Romans. She confessed with her mouth and believed in her heart who God was. But when they got to the place that they were going, they weren't living the lifestyles of the rich and famous. She had to glean the field in order to get food. That means she had to go around the outskirts of the crops and get what the residue, the leftovers. And she did that faithfully with a heart to take care of her mother-in-law. But Ruth is the one who got Boaz. And Boaz is the one who owned those fields. She got everything that she needed in such an abundance that she was not only in a position to bless herself, but she was also in a position to bless others. So, yeah, sometimes, you know, could you imagine that? Let's think about Ruth. You got to remember the reason why Naomi and her family left where they were from in the first place was because there was a famine in the land. Remember, Naomi heard that the famine had been lifted, and now she wanted to go back to the land. So actually, to be honest with you, Naomi the one who didn't necessarily have her faith on 100. Because instead of staying there, because there's also a scripture, Lord have mercy, I want to say that it's, I'm going to have to find it, and I literally just read it earlier, where it talked about even though, I think it's in Samuel, or in Psalms 18, something like that, where the basically what it says, you know, if you delight yourself in the Lord and you follow him, how he's going to watch you, protect you, guard you, and it says that, you know, oh, you know what, I believe in Psalms 37 because it talks about not fretting over evildoers, how they look like they're going to make it, they're going to be blessed. It says, but in the end, it's the righteous that are going to last. And even when there's a famine in the land, that the righteous are the ones that will not lack and they will thrive. Like what happened with the widow with Elijah. It was a famine in the land, but her meal and her oil kept running over. So when it was a famine in the land, Naomi and her minuscule faith left. And so she had to go to an area where there was plenty. But she went to an area where idolatry was practiced, where those people did not even recognize God. She ended up being in a place where her family died off. She was bitter. She heard that there was a better lifestyle back where she came from. So what I've learned about Naomi, I used to have a different level of respect for her, but Naomi was a runner. Naomi wasn't necessarily as brave as some of us give her the credit for. And I did, you know, if you look at the scriptures at one point, she called herself Mara, which meant that she was bitter. So her faith wasn't always on 10. But here it is, Ruth was willing to live comfort and everything to go into an unknown. I mean, would you go into a place just because you heard it had it going on? Because it wasn't that long ago that it didn't have it going on. If you're supposed to have this good God, why did you come where I'm at in the first place? But still, there was something about the essence of the Lord, in spite of Naomi's defects, that allowed her to see God And plus, she had her own experience, whatever that was, that allowed her to say, I want to be wherever it is that God is. So she went to an unfamiliar place and had to deal with some unfamiliar things. She had to humble herself. She had to serve, and she had to toil and labor rigorously, not just to take care of herself, but also to take care of another grown woman. But at the end of that thing was a blessing. So what are you going through, or what are you dealing with that seems like a bunch of rigorous, tedious steps that you think are unfair or unjust, or that you shouldn't have to go through because God showed you in the end that there's this destiny for you, that there's this outstanding plan that you're supposed to have these wonderful things? Are you missing out on it because every time you get close to that place that where it gets uncomfortable, you say, oh, Lord, this must not be God, and you run away, you know, and you stay away from it? I don't know. That's a question for you to ask yourself. Are you taking the time to look at the situations that come before you and saying, you know what, they don't matter. Matter of fact, I'm glad they're here. And using this, the terminology of the slang that they put out there that says, what doesn't kill me is only going to make me stronger. Because that is what we're supposed to be doing as saints. Not sitting here trying to figure out how we're going to walk this walk and how everything is going to be comfortable. And you know what ends up happening? Whether you realize it or not, your discomfort ends up trickling on to other people. And people that are not grounded enough in their walk, they get discouraged by you. They get discouraged by that doubt. They get discouraged by that fear. And I know that because there were times when that used to happen to me. But now I'm in a place where, you know what, if you're not talking right, and if every time I leave your presence, I have to sit here and be like, dang, why I got to shake this off that I feel like this person ain't supporting me, or why I got to shake this off that I feel like the person's speaking negative towards what I'm doing. I ain't mad at you, but I'm not talking to you no more. Because I need to make sure that, you know, that scripture that says that you're not supposed to get counsel from the ungodly. Well, that I'm not saying that it's necessarily an ungodly, meaning a secular person. It's a person that's not hearing from God, whether they saved or not, just giving you advice or information. If your counsel is ungodly, if it's not rooted in what thus says the Lord, then you should shut up. If you don't understand and you don't know, then you should shut up. You shouldn't say anything, and you shouldn't discourage someone. Because I'm going to tell you something. Some of you people out here that are listening to me right now, you're young. And when I say young, I don't necessarily mean young like you may be, you know, a teenager or in your early 20s, but I'm saying that you're young in the faith. But you know what? It's that youngness, that boldness that allows you to feel like, man, I can do it at all costs. A lot of times it's the older saints that you think that you're secure in your walk, that you also knew that you're really stagnant and you're complacent. And you don't realize that they'll bless you and your shoes ain't worn out and you still have manna and fish to eat every day, that you're the one that's not actually experiencing the quality of life. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm not very young in my faith and I'm not very old in my faith. I'm just seasoned. But what I have had to avoid more than anything is the so-called old season. Got it going on, been saved for a long time, did ministry for a long time type of thing. Because I don't even think they understand how discouraging their conversation can be at times. So I have to fall back. It's the people that I know that are barely beginning to do their walk that are inspired by the move me and my husband have made. It's the people that are getting to know God that are looking and saying, whoa, that's scary. But, oh, they did it. Well, if they could do it, then maybe I can do it too. That's the kind of impact that you're supposed to have on people. You're supposed to have an impact that shows somebody that they can make it. I had a girlfriend of mine talk to me to touch bases to just see how I was doing, and she said, you know what, I'm going to thank you. She said, because you're teaching me, because I'm hearing every little bitty thing that you're doing along this journey. And I never thought about that. See, your struggles and the things that you go through are not supposed to just say that God didn't make this blessing for you. It's so that you could be the one to cross more T's and dot more I's, so that you could be more like a Moses and help somebody else and direct them into the promised land. Because we're doing all of this cold turkey on our own, figuring out what it does to establish citizenship in another state, figuring out how to get the kids registered, you know, walking this thing by faith and figuring out where the job fairs are, how to get the interviews the fastest, where the temp agencies are, what are the best locations to live. And for those of you that don't know, we're from St. Louis. You can hop on the highway and get anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. We're in another city where it takes at least 30, 40 minutes just to get to another side. And so we done burned a gang of gas miles up just trying to get from one spot to another, and sometimes it's a total bust. But if somebody were to literally follow us to our destination, we can begin to give them expertise every step of the way to make the journey a little bit easier for them. So we're honored that we go through the processes and the steps that we go through, because we know that it's bigger than us, because we're connected to the body. At some point in your life, you should want to go through the obstacles. You should want to be the Joshua. You should want to be the Nehemiah. Has God shown you from the beginning that what he has promised for you is for you? Take it. I'm glad I brought up Nehemiah. I'm going to share this with you, and I'm going to get closer to closing. Nehemiah, when he heard about the obstacles with the wall and the being destroyed and the city being down to a plunder, he went before the king, and his countenance was sad, and the king said, "What's going on? Because I've never seen you this way." And he's supposed to have his disposition correct. He's supposed to be the wine bearer for the king, but he was very honest with him and told him what was wrong. And immediately God rained favor on him. He said, "Okay, what do you need?" And he's like, "I need a letter saying it's okay for us to do this. I need you to tell other surrounding kings that we need supplies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I need time." The king's like, "How much time do you need? You take whatever you need." The king, the one, you know, like our God, the king, gave him everything that he needed in order to begin this process. And he gathered up the people and he began the process. But you know what? In the middle of the process, people lied to try to get him to stop. They threatened him to try to get him to stop. They even tried to trick him to make him do something spiritually immoral to make God not have favor on him to get him to stop. And the only thing it did for Nehemiah was it made him educate his people on how to fight with, I mean, have a weapon in one hand and how to have their tool in the other hand so that they could still be about their father's business. That's all it did, is it gave them encouragement to understand and to know how to move, not to stop, not to give up, not to quit, no. So the opposition's going to come, people. But God, when he gives you the signs to move forward, go forward. Like I told you, for those of you, quick synopsis again, if this is the first time you're listening to the show, God put it on me and my husband's heart to leave St. Louis in the middle of April. We did a moving sale, and then at the end of May, on May 28th, we put our house on the market, barely a month after the decision had been made. In 72 hours, we had an offer, and by this past Friday, we were closed on the home. In the area that we live in and in the market in St. Louis, that's unheard of. And we did not obtain success because we gave our house away at some ridiculous, ludicrously low cost. We couldn't have done that. We wouldn't have walked away with any profit, and we wouldn't even have enough money to pay the realtor. God moved expediently and abundantly above all that we could think of or ask. So who would we have been not to still make the move of faith just because certain things were uncomfortable? So I hope that today challenged you to look at what the enemy would want you to believe are obstacles or challenges, and to look at them as opportunities. I hope that today has inspired you that no matter what in the world is going on, that you're going to pursue your dream and you're going to reach to get whatever it is that God has for you. If I don't know if you have a question or a comment in reference to anything that was said. If you do, I always inform you, push the number one. Go from there. I'm always looking forward to hear from you and what you have to say. And if there are no questions or comments, I always thank you for joining us. I want you to know that you can find me on Facebook, connect with me to be a friend. It's just under my name, August Crenshaw, the one with the big red hair. If you have any questions or comments you'd like to ask me personally, you can email me, AugustCrenshaw@yahoo.com, AugustCrenshaw. I'm always looking forward to hear from you. Maybe you have some suggestions about some topics, or maybe you feel like you have a story to share and you'd like to be a guest on the show, even at long distance. We can do that. We do have a question or comment. I'm going to bring the caller on. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Absolutely fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Sorry I was late. I woke up pretty late, but it sounds like I got on just in time to get the message that I needed to hear.
All right. Well, praise God. So what's your question or comment?
Well, it's not really a question, but I was just saying how I really do appreciate the message on today. And you were talking about how God gives you vision. And right now, I mean, I just ask that you all continue to pray for me because I'm basically in a place where I got the vision, but now I'm walking and everything has gotten dark. Like, I don't see anything. And I'm taking it as, you know, God wants me to move either off faith or he just wants me to move, period. Because I'm not really receiving, well, I'm not going to say I'm not receiving direction, but it's like he's told me where I need to go or at least my ending place. But now I don't really see, it's almost like I'm walking and then all of a sudden the lights turn off and I just have to move.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I just pray that you all continue to pray for me about that.
Okay. So I'm going to leave you on for a second just in case you want to respond back to what I'm about to say to you. One of the things that we had to deal with, and this truly goes back to this scripture that I quoted in James about how you have to be patient and let patience have its perfect work so that you can be complete and entire and not wanting in anything. So let me break down this scripture from my personal experience, and then maybe it'll give you some form of a connection and an epiphany and how to relate it to your own. We knew from the beginning the ending destination. We knew what city we were supposed to go to. We knew that one of the things that we had to do in order to get there was we needed to get out of the connection, the tie to the house. So that was like the easy part for us. So that moved swiftly, but there was that glitch right before we were supposed to move that would have made us want to stand still. And we needed to be here because in order to establish the citizenship, you need 30 days. Now, could you imagine who's about to start? And we can't afford 7 days. We need every day that we can get because I got a 9-year-old that I got to get in school. So we had to get here. Now, I didn't know that on the way here. I didn't find that out until I got here. Okay, well, now that we're here in the city, we're actually at an extended stay. And my husband, he wants the job that he knows that he can get, and he knows how much that he can get paid. We looked at the areas, and we know where we want to live. And when we got here, you know, we were moving, and we were looking at places, and we were calling companies, and we were speaking with realtors, and we were moving, and he went and worked with temp agencies, and he's filled out applications. He's got job fairs. Matter of fact, he just left out, you know, to go to an interview not too long ago. But we've been here for an entire week, and it's kind of like, okay, but the only thing that we have to have joy in is the fact that we're here. We're here, and we know that we're where he wants us to be. And he's covered us even with the slow motion move of the sale of the house and us not having that comfort of that lump sum of cash. He's given us wisdom on how to use the money that we've had, and he's given us favor with circumstances that necessarily didn't put us in a position to need money. So right now we're kind of like in this waiting pattern. I would encourage you to look up scriptures that, you know, that say they that wait on the Lord, you know, and whatever ones you can find, just Google it. you know, so you can go to BibleGateway.com and type in Wait on the Lord and see how many scriptures it is so that you can stay on the journey, stay in the ministry and the effort that God has given you. But if you don't have your exact next step, don't be so eager to move. But keep joy in your heart and know that the promise is going to be fulfilled. Because, see, right now there's something that you need done, but God has to still work out the kinks on the other end. For me, that might be he wants the landlord to have favor on us. So maybe the landlord needs to go another week without a tenant so that by the time we come, even though he thought he wanted $1,200, he's going to be like, look, when I come to him and say, hey, sir, are you willing to accept $1,050? He'd be like, man, whatever, because he would just want someone to be there. You know what I'm saying? That may not necessarily be the way that it's going to turn out, but I'm just trying to say there's something else on the other side that God wants to work out. It's kind of like with Peter and Cornelius. Peter got that vision that he needed to go. I mean, Cornelius got that vision that he needed to see Cornelius, but Peter was getting a vision on the other end too, but God had to work with Peter. Don't you call anything that I created unclean, because Peter was going to have to go and minister to some Gentiles. So God has, when he gives you a vision, it is very plain. You hold on to what the end result is going to be, and on those times when you cannot do anything, you still hold on to the promise, you still keep your faith, and you let him work out the kinks. That's a very uncomfortable place to be at sometimes, but I promise you it's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow if you do it. So I don't know if what I said kind of gave you some encouragement or gave you a little bit of help. But you talk to me and you let me know. And if it didn't, then, you know, hey, I'm going to pray for God to give it to you, because I'm not, you know, unless he drops something else down, I'm not exactly sure what to say. But does that help you at all?
Oh, yes, it really does. And I will continue to look for those scriptures and wait on the Lord, because it sounds like I just need to continue to look at scriptures like that and just keep reminding myself as I'm going on the journey. But I really do appreciate the words that you have said, even now and in the message today. And I appreciate the ministry you're doing and allowing God to use you. That's about it.
All right. Well, praise God and thank you. I want to close off, you know, with just this point. There was a scripture I gave it. It's, you know, a lot of people say that you're supposed to take the vision and write it down and make it plain. That's in Habakkuk. I believe it's Habakkuk 2 and 2. But I've encouraged people before that same scripture says that write it down so that he that may read it will be able to run for it, but also wait. And to have encouragement knowing that it's going to be a second before the blessing manifests, but it's not going to not happen. It has to happen because God said it. And so that's why I'm saying when we have these visions and God gives us these things, sometimes we just want it to go like a straight bullet. And we want it to just happen. And it doesn't all just happen. You have to have the security. Remember, the Israelites need, God was upset because they did not have the security to trust in what he had done in the past. He had moved them from the bondage of the Israelites. He had seen them take vast armies and drown them in the Red Sea, but yet they did not believe that he would take down the Nephilim, the giants, and that he would give them the promised land. So sometimes you also need to delve back into your own little mind, your own journal of blessings that God has done for you. See, I've been in a situation before where I literally needed some place to live. And if I didn't find a place to live within a week, I might have been on the streets or going to a homeless shelter. And I literally had a landlord have a place open for me in 7 days. And this is when I was younger and my credit was shot. But I did at least pay my rent and my car note on time. And the landlord that I spoke to on the phone told me, you know what, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to take a chance on you. I'll never forget that year. That was in 2000, and I moved in on March 17th on my eldest short daughter's birthday, and it was also the birthday of my landlord. So if I've seen God give me a place to live when I've needed it in a hurry, then I know he's going to give us, but we don't need it in a hurry right now. We just want it. We're comfortable. You know, see, things are about perspective. Some people might say, ooh, you're living in an extended stay. You know, isn't that uncomfortable? You had, you know, 4 bedrooms, 2.5 baths. And those are all luxuries. Those don't matter. We're going to get that and then some once we get our house. If I look at the positive side of it, I don't have a gas. I don't have electric, water, sewer, security system bill. It's a whole bunch of bills. I'm paying a whole lot less to spend a lump sum for staying in extended stay. So even though I want to see God move, I've gotten older and seasoned in my walk, and I can have patience because when I needed it in a hurry, he gave it to me. So good. Like the old folks say, God may not come when you want him to, but he is always on time. So I'm going to pray and close us out. I always thank everybody for tuning in. Please refer it to your friends. Get it out there if this is something that you know someone needs to hear. If you can't articulate it, the shows are always available in the archive. You can always go back and listen to different episodes or re-listen to this episode. I'm also always very open. If you've heard me say something that's a little challenging, challenge me, critique me, look at the scriptures, you know, look for the interpretation. We've got to get into a walk where our relationship is personal with God and we're not just confident in what the ministers are saying. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for being the great I am. I thank you for being the one that we rely on and for being the source to answering us and giving us the blessings that we need on time, God. More than anything, we need wisdom. Continue to download to us the necessary things that we need to know in order to walk this walk the way that you want us to. Help us to be strong and courageous like Joshua, to let your word be what's on our lips and never let it depart. So no matter what comes our way, God, we can continue to seize the blessings that you have promised for us. Lord, we thank you and we praise you because we know that you're sovereign, we know that you are the way, and we know that you are our guidance. So may we all have a blessed week. May these words impact us for the rest of the week to move forward and leave out of the land of familiar and to acquire the things that you have set before us. Thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Can't wait to talk to you guys next week. All right.